The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The holy day of trumpets is almost upon us. Eventually, what is described in Revelation 11:15 will happen. And it says in Revelation 11:15, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" What comes to your mind when you read this or you hear this? Are you thinking about, say, Matthew 24, verse 27, where it says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Or maybe you're thinking about 1 Corinthians 15:52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Or possibly, are you even thinking about 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17? "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." These are all things that are going to happen at this time, on that day, when it does occur. But with these passages, there's also something else, a story, an old story, that we're being reminded of, and something that we should remember. It's part of the details of God's plan and the reward of them, but also it's also, you could say, the failure of man's history. Today, I want to reflect on the state or the governing methods and the philosophies and why the kingdoms of this world are the way they are. You know, in Revelation 11:15, it says, "And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of his Lord and his Christ." Why aren't the kingdoms today the kingdoms of God, or belong to God? They don't now, and there's a reason. Write these verses down, and I'm going to read them. The verses are 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. Revelation 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, verse 9. And 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." So there's this being that interrupted things and turned man in a direction. And God's truth isn't available to mankind. Revelation 12:9. "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, who is called devil and the adversary, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." 1 John 5:19. "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." The world is the world, the majority of mankind is deceived by the adversary. We've named him basically Satan. So how did mankind become so influenced by this adversarial being? You know, it was a choice that mankind made. What's interesting is the two trees explain where we are and are very simple, and yet at the same time show us why we have what we have today. So turn to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of the tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Now God gave our first parents instructions. God, in this case, was Jesus Christ, who was walking with Adam and Eve at this point in time. Remember, Jesus is the Word, and He created things, and He was there with Him. He was there with our first parents. We don't necessarily know all the instructions that God gave Adam and Eve, but and everything that was said, because Genesis is just a small example of what was said. Very little was said, but the important things are there if we read. But we do know that God gave man instructions. And God said, "Do not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." That was the only that was one of the commands that was given to man. Now, while they were in the garden in Genesis 3:1, here comes the serpent. Genesis 3:1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And the serpent, he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now this statement gave Eve a starting point to question what she had been told by God. See, it was likely a hanging inference that something was wrong with the statement that God made. "Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So her brain starts turning. And the woman said to the serpent in verse 2, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Verse 4, "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Now here the snake directly contradicts what God says. He doesn't just infer, he contradicts. And basically said, God's wrong. God's incorrect. So he was telling the woman that God, Jesus Christ, didn't know what he was talking about. In fact, God was even trying to hide something from the woman or mankind at this point in time. So they looked at the tree in verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and they ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves coverings." Now, probably in this, there was more than just the conversation that was recorded here. Because again, how did they know that they were naked? There must have been other conversations that occurred. But what they did is that they made a choice. And the thing is God allowed them to make a choice. And that choice was that they rejected God as their primary source of knowledge. They no longer wanted to listen to God. They wanted to be and decide what their knowledge was. In other words, decide what was good and evil. And in this particular case, because they listened to the snake, they kind of came under his sway. Now, the choice of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is what influenced mankind as a whole from that time forward. And that's the tree that man has been eating from that point in time. And again, our philosophies, our religions, our political institutions, our governments are all based on the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, where man has the prerogative, or has taken the prerogative, to decide good and evil. But that prerogative is not something that God has turned over to man. It's something that man has usurped. Romans 1, starting in verse 20, talks about this, on what man has done over the years. Turn to Romans 1, verse 20. He says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." Now, at the beginning of the world, God actually walked with man, so man knew God. But since that point in time, very few in the history of man have seen God, either in vision or personally. But it still says, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They, meaning we. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's exactly what mankind has been by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Romans 2:14 it says, "So when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things of the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves." Now, because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's both good and evil part of it, you know, mixed in. So the more you do toward the good, the more you're going to live according to what God teaches. And the more you do toward evil, the more evil you will be. And as in Romans 2:14, the more that you, again, do according to what God wants, the more blessings in that respect that you will receive, because God's laws, God's way of life is a living way of life. God's way of life is a positive force in the universe, so to speak. It's part of the laws of nature. By obeying God and practicing his ways of life, blessings occur. And that's just the way God built it. They are living laws. They're not dead laws where you decide to do it or not do it and things don't happen, or God actively has to say curse you or bless you. God will, but thing is those, God has built those laws. That's why it's called the law of love, and that's what God is teaching his people. So by partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind has set up his own governments, religious institutions, philosophies. And the Bible talks about this in many different ways. But we can see that specifically this is talked about in Daniel chapters 2, chapter 7, and chapters 8. This is the prophecies from God via Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel the prophet about the image the golden image with the four sections and the four different beasts that represent the governments of man throughout time. Actually, we've seen all four of those governments that are pictured. And we know at the same time that we're still in the grips of, or we're going to come under the grips of the last part of the government, the fourth government in the future. And in the Bible, God gives us information that we can use, his people, that he's given us through understanding. In Daniel 7:17, this is what it says. And those great beasts, which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue of its feet. And then in verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom of the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it into pieces. We know what this fourth beast is, and yet we are still waiting for it so that we can identify it yet today. And basically, this beast is the culmination of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for all the years that God has given mankind to rebel or to not go according to God's way of life. In other words, choose what they want to do. Now, many people around the world are familiar and believe in secret groups that will take control of this world. In other words, conspiracy theories. Now, these ideas upset and bring worry and concern to God's people. Why would we worry about conspiracy theories? The way of this world is governed and run today is based, again, on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of it is a conspiracy against God. So what if some of the theories come about that's predicted? It isn't going to break God's overall framework. It's just going to fit into it. So why are we as God's people, or why are some of us as God's people, even think that conspiracy theories are going to control us? Revelation 13:4 says, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? All who dwell on the earth will worship him, and whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we see this beast is going to have awesome power. That's part of the conspiracy that God has told his people about for years and years. That's what was written in Revelation. Daniel 11 says, then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, and he shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. This was written about 2,700 years ago, 2,500 years ago. Daniel 7:25 says, and he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand, for times and times and half a time. These are things that God has prophesied, has put in his writings, so his people will know that he is in charge. God gives us understanding in his holy day plan and a reasonable understanding of his prophecies. We know these verses. We understand these verses. Do we believe God? Do we take him at face value? Or do we let some theory throw us off and keep us separated from God's people as a whole? In other words, are we partaking of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life? God will reveal and make clear and clearer his prophecies to his people. Believe in what God tells us. Make your choice from his tree. God works with us, his people. He doesn't change. Just like God worked with our spiritual forefathers, he will work with us and give us due warning and understanding in due time. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." God has given his people his Holy Spirit so that we can understand his word, so that we can understand prophecy. Now, again, not everything is exceptionally clear, but God does give us a framework from which we can work. And that framework gives us knowledge, gives us an understanding that no one else in the world has. Now, we need to use God's Holy Spirit. He has given it to us. He's working with us, his people around the world. And God tells us to congregate today on his Sabbath. Not cut ourselves off from our brothers and sisters without a reason. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching." Times will get tough. I mean, we're in what we would call a prosperous time. As the churches said, we're before Jacob's trouble. That hasn't started yet. God is still blessing, is still pouring blessings upon the people because of the blessings that he gave Abraham. So let's not forget these things nor forsake the assembling of ourselves while we can. You know, when Christ comes back, one of the things that historically happens that Christ has told us in Matthew 24:22, he says, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." When Christ comes back, the world is going to be in chaos. Things will be dire. But what will the state of man be, even though events will be dire? As it says, no flesh would be saved alive. When Christ returns, are we going to be welcoming Christ? Now, God's people will, but will mankind be welcome in Christ? Revelation 6:12, this is what it says. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as fig trees drop its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. The sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in caves and in the rocks and in mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? It said in verse 16 of Revelation 6, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. Mankind at this time knows the identity of this being. They know it's God. They recognize him as Jesus Christ. And that God is going to start taking active action in world history. But they are not happy about this. They want to get away from what God is going to do. At the time of the sixth angel, which happens in Revelation 9, verse 20. Remember, there are seven angels with the seven trumpets. This is the sixth angel. This is what happens here, Revelation 9:20, after the sixth angel blows his trumpet. But the rest of mankind who are not killed by these plagues, the plagues I haven't read, you can read the verses before it, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Man wants to be left alone. He wants to continue eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man doesn't want to be stopped. In Revelation 11:15, this is when the seventh angel sounds. And when the seventh angel sounded, there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Skip down to verse 18. And the nations were happy and excited. No, the nations were angry. And your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you will reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Remember in Matthew 24:22, and unless those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. And these people are destroying the earth, and they want no part of God. When Jesus returns to take over the kingdoms of this world, he's not going to be welcomed. Mankind will know that he is God. And mankind is going to fight against God. Now, they'll consider him an alien because he's not here, but they'll know he's God. And they're going to consider him as a meddling God. And something that they have to overcome. After all, from years of living by this choice, the choice of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they're not going to give up. Even though Christ, with the sounding of the seventh trumpet, basically he's trumpeting against that troubling tree, mankind does not want to give up. He does not want to be able to say, I don't want to do what God tells me. I want to decide for myself. In Matthew 24:29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light. We go back a little bit. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is what we would consider the fulfilling of the Day of Trumpets. But after the Day of Trumpets, when that occurs, God lets loose 7 plagues. And in those 7 plagues, many things happen to mankind. Plague 5 in Revelation 16:10, man still isn't giving up, says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of their pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and again did not repent of their deeds. In verse 13 of Revelation 16, and I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. What's become known as Armageddon, notice, Satan and his demons rally mankind to fight God because they want to continue to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then in verse 17, when the 7th plague occurs, and the 7th angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And great hail from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone was about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Just like at the time when God was rescuing Israel from Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt kept hardening his heart and hardening his heart. Here, mankind keeps hardening his heart and hardening his heart, fighting God. Well, in Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 kings who receive no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. And these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And they will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. God is coming to bring life to mankind. He's coming to replace the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Day of Trumpets, trumpets against the troubling tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Revelation 11:15, he says, and the 7th angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Mankind will then be taught God's truth and have access to the tree of life. Mankind, even from that point on still has the choice to make whether they want that tree of life. But as a whole, mankind will be taught from the tree of life by God. God gives his people this opportunity now. And it's something that we should be thankful to God about. And we should be thankful that God is great and powerful, and he will reign and will bring his kingdom to this earth to teach man his way of life.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.